Let us pray. Lord, we listen for your word with our ears and also our hearts, and we pray that your word this morning may touch us in some way. And we pray that your word through my lips may be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a day of great celebration as we have welcomed through baptism Oscar into the church family. Of course, it's not a family that just resides in these four walls. The words of the baptism say that God's family stretches across the world, through time, over continents and oceans. It is a family that brings people together, all sorts of people. And it's in this family that we discover that God forgives us for all the wrong things we've said and done. And in turn, we can learn to forgive others in order to start again. This family, as the words say in the baptism, is a place of healing and a place where we learn to trust God through the good times and through the bad. The message of baptism is one of new life, a beginning of a journey with God through the family of the church. And of course, in order to help him on that journey, Oscar's parents, Rachel and Lance, their godparents, Claire and Paul, and Alison and Jeff, have made promises, made decisions for him about supporting him, nurturing him through this part of journey of his faith. And we too have made promises. We all have a part to play. But I wonder how many of us have remembered the words that were said during the baptism. They're quite familiar to many of us, but for some, the words may have been altogether unfamiliar, may have been the first time that you've heard them. For some, you may have remembered certain words that struck a chord and forgot the rest. Some of you may have wanted to listen, but were distracted by something or someone. Or maybe, just maybe, some of you were not listening at all. Don't worry, I've been preaching long enough to know that this is an occupational hazard. And there were plenty of people that didn't listen to Jesus as he spoke. Or if they did listen, they didn't understand for whatever reason as he tried to illustrate his messages. And through what we heard today in Matthew's Gospel, through a story, a parable. A parable is like a word picture which uses an image or a story to illustrate a truth or a lesson. And it helps us as listeners to discover the deeper meaning, the underlying truth of the reality being portrayed. But the Greek word parable, which parable comes from, is broader than that. It's not just a story that seems to explain itself. It actually conveys something mysterious that we cannot understand just by reading on the face of it. They need to be interpreted. It means that we need to think deeply about the meaning, get through the service to understand more fully the message that Jesus is trying to convey. The same parable without any explanation may be understood by some, but leave others at a bit of a loss. And when we look at the reading of Matthew, do you want to open your Bibles, or if you're very good, you've left them open, page 978. And we look at the reading from Matthew, and straight away, verse 2, we know that Jesus wanted as many people as possible to hear what he was going to say. He said Jesus spoke from a boat in the middle of a lake. And there weren't any PA systems in first century Palestine, no microphones or speakers. But the water acted as a sounding board. It reflected the sound, a great resonator of sound, So Jesus standing in a boat in the middle of a lake could actually project his voice quite well. And then Jesus went on and started to speak about the farmer scattering his seed. A useful illustration for the day, because you know, where farmers didn't have machinery but used their hands or a bag with holes to help them. So the seed wasn't very accurately sown. It actually went quite widely, spread widely. And we almost always call this story the parable of the sower. It quite helpfully or sometimes unhelpfully gives you that heading in the Bible. But the sower isn't the key focus of this story. The sower is Jesus, 10 marks if you've worked that one out. And the seed that he sows, that he plants, represents the word of God. But the key focus is the soil. And the soil represents our hearts. And Jesus speaks of many ways people respond to God's word, the word that announces the kingdom, where God's work of love, of mercy, of justice, of forgiveness is seen throughout the world. And the word that will transform people's lives, the word that is able to grow in people's hearts such that it bears fruit, enabling others to be transformed as well. But then, as is the case now, people respond in mixed ways. The types of soil that Jesus described, he translated later in the passage into the type of hearts that people have. Described it as a path, sort of someone who's maybe hard-hearted, as rocky places, something that's quite shallow that no root can take. The thorns, something that choked the heart. And finally, the good soil, the fertile hearts where things could grow. Now, it would be very easy to say that each of these hearts represented a certain person, a specific person. But actually, four types of hearts really are only one heart, which can describe each one of us. Different patches of soil in our hearts, depending on how we feel in certain times in our life. So let's go through these four types of hearts. And I've put the verses where Jesus speaks of the sower sowing the seed, and also the verse where he gives the explanation. There may be places in our heart that the hard are hard to God's truth, like the path in the parable. These places seem to have been trampled on by the world. There are places maybe where we're not willing yet to trust God. Maybe we're too hurt. Maybe we're too fearful. And it's a place where Jesus' word cannot even break the surface. So it quickly gets snatched away. Maybe times when, as Christians, we come to church week in, week out. We take part in the worship. We listen to the sermons. We read our Bible. We sing all the songs. But none of it is actually really touching us. We're going through the motions. The author from Hebrews said this: "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." Jesus then goes on to speak about a seed that were fell on rocky places. And in Palestine, much of the land is quite thin, 2 or 3 inches of veneer of soil over some quite hard limestone rock. So actually, when something is planted there, it cannot take root. It's quite superficial. And as it says, the plant gets scorched. Some of you may remember when you first became a Christian. I do. It wasn't such long ago. And it was exciting. It was exhilarating. All the messages that you heard about God loving you, about forgiveness, about justice, all those positive messages that you heard, it welled you up. Really exciting. But it's a bit like a fizzy bottle of pop. when you first become a Christian, it's like a shaken bottle. And actually, it's all fizzy. And you open the lid, and it all goes... And you want to tell everyone about it. You want to tell everyone about your experiences. And then you forget to put the lid on. And all that fizz, all that excitement, just fizzles away. For some, the top of the fizzy bottle of our Christian faith stays off. And actually, we do sing all the right songs, as I said before, in all the right places. But actually, when things get tough, when maybe we're at work and maybe we're ridiculed for our faith, for instance, when we're tested, sometimes we find it hard to stand up, to be positive in our faith. Jesus said that following him was the narrow path, and the pressure from both our friends, maybe our family, and just muddling through life sometimes means that we struggle with our faith. But it's the faith in Christ that draws us to those vulnerable positions in the first place, which is the same faith that brings us out of those positions, that pulls us through. Jesus then goes on to speak about faith that is choked, our heart that is choked. We've listened to God's word, we're starting to put it into practice. It's really taken a hold of us. It's meant something, it's transformed us. And then we get led by all the things that happen in our life, all the distractions, TV, the internet, life in front of a computer screen. And there are times when we desire things, we crave for things that we see. The world full of things that are drawing us to buy things as if that actually is going to fulfill our lives. The latest gadget. But it's not just those with money that do that. It's actually those doubt. So we're drawn into debt by the world. Also a desire to store up wealth. Desire for power. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, first letter, speaks of contentment. I wonder how many of us can truly say that we are contented. And finally, Jesus speaks of soil that is fertile, good soil, that when the seed is sown, it's able to take root and things are able to grow. Speaking of people, one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. It's not just the ears that matter here, it's our hearts. Jesus is speaking about the places in our heart where we've learned to trust God completely, where he's working to produce an incredible harvest. And the harvest he's talking about is not just for our sake. It's not growing just in our own hearts, but producing fruit, not just for us, for all those who come into contact with us. Where Jesus is the sower and we are the soil, having grown from the seed, we now produce fruit of our own. And in that effect, we actually become the sower ourselves. The message of salvation, of God's kingdom, isn't just for us. It actually becomes something for others as we live out that faith, as people see and hear what we have to say. That's what Jesus wants for our life, to be fruitful. And that's what he wants for Oscar, who is starting out on his journey of faith, his journey in trusting God. And that's what it really comes down to regarding those pieces in our hearts that we haven't got quite right about trust. Parts which are hard, rocky, full of thorns are those parts where we've yet to fully put our trust in God. And in that sense, we may have heard, but we haven't understood. Jesus speaks about parables generally about understanding the word. But this takes time, and it takes hard work. A quick glance at the Bible now and again, an occasional visit to church, watching songs of praise, probably not enough. Care and thought needs to be put in the task of hearing God's word until it has taken proper root. Stones may need moving from the soil. Thorns may need uprooting. But when hearing brings understanding, then not only our own lives are transformed, but the lives of others who we meet, bearing fruit, being fruitful. And in the light of those fantastic possibilities open to us, we hear and understand. I would encourage those who are maybe struggling with some of this, struggling with hearing, struggling with understanding, to simply maybe have a look at this, the baptism service. Look at the words which speaks of new beginnings, speaks of trust, belief, faith, also speaks of nurturing. We are called into one family. And that's what we need to act like, one family. There are plenty of these copies at the back. If you haven't got enough there, please come and see me after, and I will give them to you. But in the meantime, I leave you with just a few words, which are so important in a baptism service that actually they were repeated. Listen for his voice in your heart. Listen for his voice in your heart. Let us pray. Lord, as we hear your word, sometimes our hearts are hardened. Sometimes your word is choked, and sometimes it does not take root enough. We do pray, Lord, for our hearts, that we would hear and understand. And in doing so, we would be fruitful. We would bear fruit for your kingdom. So the life of all those who are baptized would be nurtured. That we would draw closer to you in our life, our words, and our actions. And where we need help, then may we rely on our family. The family we are called into. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.